Okay, so today's topic is Aaron and the Golden Calf, hero or sinner? So what I want to do is I want to read the text of the Chumash and analyze based on the text, what did Aaron make any mistakes? What he did was correct? What was the reaction of God, of Moshe, that might indicate how we should judge his behavior? And then we'll see how some of Farshim sort of deal with this as well. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to run through the Perek pretty quickly, but I'm going to emphasize where we find Aaron's role. All right. So in Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Aleph, we begin Vayaram Ki Boshesh Moshe Loretz Min Ahar. People see that Moshe is delayed from coming down from the mountain. Vikahela Al Aaron. The people gather upon Aaron, v'yomru elav, and they say to him, "Kum, asei lanu Elohim, asher yelchu lefaneinu." Right, make for us a god or a leader. Ki zeh Moshe asher halanu me'eretz Yitzrayim lo yadanu me'hayalo. Because Moshe, we don't know if he's coming back. So what's Aaron's response? V'yomar aleim Aaron. Aaron said to them, "Parku niske hazav shebazin nisheichem." Why don't you remove the golden jewelry that's in the ears of that are in the ears of your wives and bneichem and your sons, if you don't say them, your daughters, if I lie and bring them to me. And the people remove the earrings that were in their ears. I guess their wives and their children said, "Get lost." But they removed, or I'm not sure, does bazneh mean in their ears, or they're referring to their own ears, or they're referring to the wives and children. Okay, whatever the case is. Vayaviu el Aaron, they bring it to Aaron. And so Aaron takes the gold, and he makes some kind of forms it into some kind of mold, I guess. And he makes it into this calf. And they say, okay, so this is your God, Yisrael, took you out of Egypt. So Aaron saw, even Mizbeach, and he built a mizbech in front of him. Vayikra Aaron, and Aaron called out the Omer, and he said, "Chag L'Shem Machar, there is a holiday for God tomorrow." Vayishkim Macharas, they wake up the next morning. Vayalu Olos, they bring Olos and Shlamim. Vayishav Alachov V'Shosav Yakum Alatzachek, and they have a party. They eat, they drink, and they have a party. And meanwhile, up in Sinai, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lechret Kishis Amcha Asher Helesa Meretz Yitzrayim. He said, "Your people have been corrupt." And in Pasuk Ches, they tell them they made an egel and they worshipped it, etc., etc. And Hashem says in Pasuk Tes, "V'yomer shel Moshe ra'isi es'am hazeh v'hineh am k'yorf." They are a stubborn nation. And in any case, Moshe prays to him, and Vayinachem Hashem arad. And Hashem sort of relents a little bit. This, again, it's not our topic. I'm focusing on what Aaron did. Yes, Abramowitz raised hand. Yes. Someone have a question? No? Okay. Well,
If Aaron's good, why would he like be in charge of making the golden calf?
right, so we have to ask that question. Why, like, it is, what was his motivation, right, in making the golden calf? Okay, we're going to get to that in a bit. It's a good question. So,
In a class.
I'm sorry. Hello? Okay. So we have to try to understand his behavior. So it could be that he felt, well, we're going to see. We're going to see what his approach was, but that's a good question. In any case, Moshe comes down and with the two tablets, the two luchos, and Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayishma Yoshua's Kol Am B'Re'o, V'yomer Moshe Kol Mechma B'Machaneh. Yoshua is standing by the foot of the mountain, and Yoshua hears the sound of the people, and he says, "Oh my God, there's war." And Moshe is like, "No." He says it's not war, it's not strength. Okay, it's a topic unto itself what that means. But what happens is Moshe comes down to the Machaneh, he sees the calf, he sees the instruments, they're playing the drums, they're having a big party. And Moshe gets angry, Vayishlech, he throws the luchos from his hands, Vayishaber, he breaks them up under the mountain. Okay, and meanwhile, and then he takes the egel and he burns it. It's in Pasuk Chaf. And then, again, our topic is Aaron's responsibility. Moshe turns to Aaron, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. V'yomer Moshe Aaron, me'asa l'cha hamazeh. What did the people do to you? Ki vesa lav chata gedola, that you brought about this horrible sin, or this great sin. Vayomer Aaron, and Aaron said, Ayichar afanani, don't get so angry. Atayadati, you know, ki esam, you know the people, ki brahu, they're not so good, they're bad. Vayomru and Li, and they said to me, Aseilan Elohim, Asher Yochel Afanu, make for us an Elohim and a God that will go before us. Kizeh Moshe Ish, a lot of merit, certainly done mehayalo. You didn't come back. They're like, we don't think Moshe's coming back, so make for us a God. Vomar Lahem Lemi Zahav Yisparku. And I said to them, whoever has gold, give it to me. Vayitnu Li, and they gave it to me, Vashlicheh, Vayesh, I threw into the fire. Vayetel Ha'egel Azeh. And this calf came out. Pasuk Chavei. Vayar Moshe Asa'am Ki Paruahu. He said they were wild, uncontrolled. Ki pro Aaron, that Aaron sort of made them, I guess, uncontrolled, or lishimtza becoming him is some kind of, it's like a disgrace. Vayamod Moshe b'shar hamelach v'yomer mi l'Hashem elai. Moshe says, who to God is by me? Like v'yesvil of kol b'nei Levi, the children of Levi come to Moshe, and Moshe says, take a sword and pasuk chav zayin, and kill anyone who worshipped the calf, and pasuk chav ches, they do that, and about 3,000 people die. And in any case, Moshe then goes back up the next day, and Moshe tells the people in Pasuk Lamed, Atem chatasem chata gdola, you commit a really bad sin. Vata elel Hashem ulayach hapra bat chataschem. Maybe I will achieve atonement for your sin. And then in Pasuk Lamed, hey, Vayigof Hashem esa'am ala shir asus egal shir asa'aron. And God smote the people for that made the egal that Aaron made. So that's there of the text. So on the one hand, it seems that Aaron did something really bad, as Becca pointed out. He made the golden calf. On the other hand, maybe he had no choice. Maybe this was a situation where maybe this was the lesser of two evils, potentially. Maybe. But what I'm curious about is what's the reaction? So does it seem from, and Becca, we're going to get to your question a little bit later, but does it seem from God or Moshe's reaction that Aaron's at fault?
Yeah.
And that's what I want to know. Like, in other words, does it seem like Aaron's at fault here?
And you don't know, I think it's in Devarim or someplace, is it in Devarim where it says that, you know, Moshe says Hashem really got angry.
That's correct. We'll get there here, in a second.
Like, here it seems like weird wording because in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it's like, what did the nation do to you? Almost?
Right. There's Moshe cannot even, Pasuk Chaf Aleph says almost that, obviously you couldn't do this, Aaron. Like, how do these people get you to do this? Right, it's almost like Moshe can't believe that Aaron would have done that.
Rabbi, it says about Aaron that he was Oev Shalom, Verodev Shalom.
Right.
So in order for him to ease the people, he tried to just maybe buy time, tell them to get the jewelry, maybe they will not bring it. So
I agree, you know, that he asked for the women to bring their jewelry. Maybe he thought that the women would take longer. Okay. And there was something else.
What Sandra and Gila are saying is that you're trying to explain to Aaron's behavior that his goal was to stall for time. We're going to get to that in a bit. We're going to get to what Aaron's reaction was. But my question I'm asking right now is, how does God or Moshe view Aaron's behavior? So there are two psukim that I think that we have to look at. We have to look at Pasuk Chaf Hei. Moshe saw the people, ki faruahu, that they are like uncontrolled, ki pra'o Aaron. So that maybe was Aaron responsible. So I just want to point out that the Ramban understands, ubatel, ki pra'o Aaron, ubatel mehem kol etza umusar. That what was God, he, I guess, neglected from them, or he didn't hold them responsible for any idea, any advice, or musar, or any teaching. In other words, he basically let them do what they wanted. Vinehem katzon hanefutzim al heharim. They are like sheep. They're scattered on the mountains, below Yoetz Madrich, without an advisor or a leader or a guide. Va'amar zeh, and he said this, v'mnei shehayu choshvim she'egal mora lahem aderech. and they thought that the calf would show them the way. It's as if they don't have any advice, and they don't know where to go, and what they should do. They thought it was all good. Some people thought you should do this way, and others thought it was bad. Everyone's going which way? Everyone, like, the calf is there, and they have different opinions on what they should do, but there's no leadership. Right. And it seems that the Torah, at least the way the Rambam is understanding this, is that Aaron was sort of responsible. He let them become wild without any leader. In other words, they want him to do something, and he does it, and he takes a very passive attitude towards them. So that doesn't
seem... He's also functioning with the thought that they already killed Hur.
Okay, well, maybe. But we'll get to, we'll get to the reasons and everything. We'll get to this, like, you know, some of these ideas in a bit. But I'm just, I just want to try to look at these psukim and see, can we find that Moshe or Hashem is critical of Aaron's behavior? Whatever the reason is, that we'll get to in a bit, Sandra. But are they critical of his behavior? So maybe you could look at Pasuk Chaf Hey, maybe that Moshe sees that the people are wild, uncontrolled, and that was Aaron's responsibility. And again, you know, Pasuk Lamed Hey, Vayigof Hashem Asa'am, God smote the people, Al Asher Asu Asa'egel, that they made the Egel, Asher Asa'aron, that Aaron made it. So, like, are we saying that Aaron is culpable here? They did it and Aaron, or not? So, you should know, many of the Mefarshim actually do not view this Pasuk as being critical of Aaron. If you look in the Malbim, for example, he says, Amnum Ha'erev Rav, Shehem Asu Asa'egel, Nogfuba Magefa. The Erev Rav that made the Egel, so they were killed in the plague. The B'nai Levi killed 3,000 people, but then God smote other people. So God smote the people, like the 3,000 people, there were witnesses and a warning to those people who worshipped the golden calf, and they were killed. So they were killed by the B'nai Levi. But God killed those who could not be killed by man because of technicalities, because there was no warning or witnesses. And they were like the Erev Rav were smote because ki or Hashem smote the Erev Rav ki mi bnei Yisrael shavdu hayu edim ela shelo avdu. So among the bnei Yisrael, so many did not worship the golden calf, and they were able to warn those who did not to do it, and they saw them, and therefore they were put to death. Aval Erev Rav shekulam avdu lo yu edim ki hem bichlalam hayu osim. So the Malbim wants to say that the entire Erev Rav, they worshipped the golden calf, and they were a group separate from the rest of the B'nai Israel, and therefore they had no witnesses to or warnings for them. V'alkein ha'Erev Rav kulam nagfu b'magifa. So Malbim wants to say they all died in the plague. Ki lohem lo nishba Hashem la'aviyam la'aretz, Moshe lo yispala lehem, kein nir ali. The Malbim makes a deal, he makes an inference from the fact that What's Moshe's plan to God? What does Moshe say in Pasuk Yud Aleph? Let's go back to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Oh, I skipped that Pasuk. It's not here. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Moshe turns to God and he says, God, you promised to take them out of Egypt, to bring them to a promised land. So that technically doesn't apply to the Erev Rav. So it's an interesting deal, you know, whether everyone agrees that it's that, you know, that's you know, neither here nor there. But the point here at the Malbim, look, he says at the end, Uber Shalo Aaron Asa Rakhem Asu, Ki Aaron Haya Anus. So the Malbim understands this last pasuk. It says that they made the egel that Aaron made. Yep, Aaron built it, but they forced him. So, you know, take Becca's question, you know, why did Aaron do this? So in a sense, they sort of forced his hand, at least the way the Malbim understands it. And the Rechaim says something similar. The Rechaim says, Asher Asa Aaron. Tzorech Ladaz, Leiz Inyan Amar Zeh. Why does the pasuk say, Asher Asa Aaron? V'ulai sheikpid Hashem al shegarmu l'aron kadosh Hashem lachto ki chet adam gadol lo yeh kachut asara yakpid Hashem lav l'mod. So what the Archaim of Kadosh is saying is that God was so angry, as it were, that not only did the people sin, but they caused such a great man like Aaron to sin. They forced him to build the Egel, and he's judged, you know, very harshly for even the smallest mistake. And so the Torah is actually very critical that not only did they sin, but they forced a gadol, the gadol b'Torah, Aaron HaKohen, to sin as well. So I would say that if you just read Parshas Ki Sisa, so there doesn't seem to be such a negative reaction to Aaron's behavior by Moshe and God, except for that one pasuk, I think, Ki Pro'o Aaron, Ki Pro'o Aaron, Ki Pro'o Aaron, that maybe that he was somewhat responsible. But as Baruch pointed out in Sefer Devarim, Perek Tes, Pasuk Chaf, Moshe says very clearly, Uva Aaron Hisanef Hashem, Hisanaf Hashem Od Lashmido, that God was very angry with Aaron to destroy him. Vespalel Gam Ba'ad Aaron Be'isahi, and I daven for Aaron at that time. And Rashi says very harshly, Vehoila Tfilasi Lechaper Mechza, and my prayer helped as a partial atonement. Umesu Shnayim V'nishar Shnayim. Two of his children died and two of them were made alive. So obviously this brings up very difficult theological questions because, why should Aaron's children die for his sin? Which I don't have a great answer for right now. That's the way God willed it at this point. But for our purposes, for our shir, what this indicates is maybe in Parshas Ki Sisa, I guess the focus doesn't want to be on Aaron's guilt. The focus wants to be on the guilt of the people. But it's pretty clear in Devarim Perek Tes, Pasuk Chaf, that God also wanted to punish Aaron, that Aaron did something wrong. Okay? And just
sins of the fathers on the children.
Sorry?
The sins of the fathers on the children.
I understand. The question is that, we generally don't say that, by the way. There are instances, and again, I'm not so well versed on this. There are instances when I think young children die for the sins of their parents. It's very difficult theologically how to understand how this works and when it works, and it's a difficult concept. It's, obviously it doesn't apply nowadays, and we shouldn't make any kind of assumptions about what goes on nowadays. But it's difficult. I think one of Yeravam's children died, right? That was in the Navi. So you have instances like that. I have to think about how that actually works. But from
that with David HaMelech.
Yeah, David HaMelech, right? So again, I don't have a great approach to this right now, but for our purposes, again, it seems that Aaron is somewhat responsible. Although the Chizkuni points out the next source in this week's parsha in Perek Lamed Beis, he says Lefi Apshat, according to the simple explanation, Chalila La Aaron Chiyasa Avodas Kachavim She Kadosh VaHashem VeNavi Yisrael, that he was a walking Kiddush Hashem and he was a Navi for Klal Yisrael. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu, after the story, he's commanding Moshe about mitzvot. He's commanding Aaron. If Aaron actually committed avodah zarah, how did he escape that Moshe didn't kill him? How is it that Aaron becomes, he remains the Kohen Gadol, his descendants become the Kohanim Gadolim? If he obviously committed such a horrific crime, why does he still have his job after this? And we don't find the Torah, says that he committed a sin. We only find the sin of Me Meriva. Obviously, I don't know how Chizkuni deals with Devar and Perek Tes, but okay. V'chol Yishrei Leivav Modim Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lo Yivchar Shaliach Sof El Avon Avos Kachavim. And everyone knows that God will never choose a messenger who will end up worshiping Avodah Zarah. Gam Yisrael Lo Bik Shalos Kachavim. Okay, so he wants to say maybe Bnei Yisrael themselves may not have intended for Avos Kachavim, but the point is that I think when you think about Aaron, on the one hand, it seems he did something wrong from Devarim Perek Tes, maybe also this week's Parsha, Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Chafei, but at the same time, he remains the Kohen Gadol. So it seems that his actions generally were justified, but there's some amount of criticism.
Could it be that, if you're too much one-sided, in other words, so much chesed, you never get angry or anything, it's a flaw.
Right. So I'm going to try to refine that a little bit. So let's see. So obviously the big question is, where's Chur? So Sandra has a position on it. I want to point out that the position that is not the only position that you have on that. So the people assume that Chur died. The Medrash assumes that Chur died. Why does the Medrash assume that Chur died? Because in Parshas Mishpatim, When Hashem tells Moshe, go up to the mountain, and what happens? In Perek Chav Dalet, Pasuk Yadalet, Moshe says, Velas Kenim Amar, I guess Moshe goes up right before he goes to the mountain, and he tells the elder, he says, Shu Lodu Bazeh, remain here. Like, in other words, Yoshua is waiting for Moshe at the bottom of the mountain, and the rest of the people are in the camp, and Moshe tells the elders, you return to the camp. Ad Asher Nashuv Alechem, till we, Yeshua and I, return to you. Vinei Aaron v'chur machem. Don't worry, Aaron and Chur are amongst you. Me, the Baal Devarim, Yigash Eleim. Anyone has an issue, come to Aaron and Chur. And then Moshe goes up to the mountain. And what happens? We never hear from Chur again. So that's why there's an assumption that he dies. Additionally, Bezalel is the grandson of Chur, who is chosen to build the Mishkan. So if you view the Mishkan as a kind of kapara for the Cheda Egel, so then it kind of makes sense that Bezalel was given this job. So that's like sort of the evidence. I just want to point out, by the way, the Oznaim LaTorah gives a different explanation. He does give the Medrash's explanation that Chur dies, and that's why we never hear from him again. Yeah, I just want to point out, the Oznaim LaTorah does say in the third line here, he says, what's the evidence? The evidence is that Aaron and Chur are chosen to deal with the people if they have any issues when Moshe's gone, and the people only come to Aaron. So where was Chur? So I just point out that Oznaim LaTorah suggests in the third line in the Oznaim LaTorah, the Ulai Panu Elav, maybe they turn to Aaron. Because Aaron is probably the one who would want to fill his brother's shoes. Umikim Shayo'ov Labrios. And since he was beloved to the people, he was Oiv Shalom Verodiv Shalom, Yitzadu Harbe Bo Kemu Amad Lamahanigut, that he's the right guy to be the leader. So they went to Aaron, Shehu Yeh HaOseh, he's going to make the Egel. Vaz Halo Yivchar Egel LeManhig Pechad. And then basically, they would have, there'd be one person, basically, you'd have one leader. In other words, maybe they went to Aaron. He was a nice guy. Chur was, maybe not as accommodating as Aaron. So they thought they would go to Aaron as opposed to Chur. But as you pointed out, the Midrash Tanchuma says that what happened, according to the Medrash, the Medrash says, Yesh Om, some say that Satan stood up and showed them the picture of Moshe, on a coffin, that he was dead, so they said, Kizeh Moshe Ha'ish. That's a very strange language. This Moshe, this Moshe? So that's the Medrash says. So somehow they saw a picture of Moshe dead, up in heaven. Miyad Amad Chur Vegar Bahem. Immediately Chur gets up and he criticizes them. Said, you can't build a golden calf, or not golden calf, you can't build another god. Amdulav Hargu, and they killed him. Okay? So, if we take the view that Chur is killed, then Aaron has two choices. Either chastise them and be killed, and then they have no leader, or agree to their demands. And as what some of you point out, what Gila pointed out, what Sandra pointed out, is he chooses to stall for time, and there are different things that he does. The Psikta Zutrata says that he tells them, take your wives' earrings. There's no way the women will give up their jewelry. Right? And so that's what he thought, that this would stall for time. Rav Hirsch says that he carves the gold very slowly. He carved the gold, Vayatzar Oso Bacheret. He carved it very slowly. He didn't pour the gold into a mold to come out with a golden calf, but he carved it out very slowly. And Rashi points out that when he builds the altar, right, when he forms the golden calf and he builds the altar, Rashi says, come back tomorrow. So he thought maybe Moshe would come back before they started this celebration of Egel Hazah. So Aaron's approach is stall, stall, stall. Rather than stand up to them and be killed, and then they have no leader. Nevertheless, the Malbim says that when Moshe says Ma Salacha, right? Moshe says the people, what do the people do to you? Right? That was a pasuk Esther, that you point out. So he said, so Moshe is actually critical in this pasuk. Perish Hamafarish Eza Ones Asal Asulucha Shilchrachta Lasud Lahem Es Ego. What do they do to force you to build the ego? V'zel Marlei Achas Shirah Shlo Amdu Negdo Kisaraf Es Ego. Moshe saw that when Moshe burnt the ego, nobody stood up against him. V'zel Marlei Lama Lo Machisa Bam Kamata. Why did you protest? No one protested against me. I was like, well, you're Moshe, I'm only Aaron. But says Shagam Shlo Yach Mechuyev Limisar Asatzin Limisa. Fine, you weren't obligated to put your life on the line. Right? But Bechozos, he says, Halo Evesalov Chatal Gedolah. You know, you brought about this really horrific sin. Ma'anasech lozeh loma ma'anasech lozeh loma lo machisa. But why don't you protest against them? So Moshe is critical in saying that Aaron should have protested. Why didn't Aaron protest? So here's the thing. There's another medrash in Shmos Rav which says the following. I'll just summarize it. Well, the midrash in Shmos Rabbah says that, right, Satan showed a picture of Moshe that they said that elk, he died, and then so we want to build another god. So the second line in the midrash, it says Osa Shah Maralem Chor. Chor turns to them and he says to them, Kitsie Tzavare, you people whose necks are cut off, meaning you headless people, you don't remember what miracles God did for you. He's like, you foolish, brainless idiots. What are you thinking? Miad amdu alav haragu. Immediately they stood up and they killed him. And then nichlesu al Aaron. Aaron, they went to Aaron. Shenemar veikohel ham al Aaron. They came up. They approached. They assembled to Aaron from below, and they said to him, kishem shasino zeh kach anu osim lacha. Just like we did to this one, we're going to do to you. Came in Shira, Aaron. Once Aaron saw this, Nishyare, he was afraid. And then, okay, so that's what Aaron did. Now,
if you know Aaron that he's afraid, not that he saw.
Oh, maybe you're right. Yes, sorry. Vayaron, yes. Vayaron, he was afraid. Very good. Yeah. So, perhaps, so then what choice did Aaron have? So why are we criticizing him? So my suggestion is the following. See, it's true that Chor rebelled against, Chor protested, he wasn't successful, but Chor called them brainless fools, headless idiots, okay? Perhaps Aaron, and so Aaron thought he had two choices, protest like Chor or agree to their demands. So he agrees to their demands and he stalls. But maybe there's a third approach which he should have chosen, which he didn't. Perhaps Aaron should have attempted to confront the mob, but in a nicer way, and he might have been successful. In other words, we know in life that sometimes we will accept Musar from one person who might be an Oev Shalom Verodev Shalom. But we might not be willing to accept Musar from someone who, let's say, speaks much harsher. And maybe the message of this story about how Aaron, on the whole, he still keeps his job, he still is the Aaron HaKohen, but we see there is some evidence that he is somewhat responsible. And maybe, and according to Rashi, very condemning, because that may have been led to the death of two of his children. Perhaps the message is that when faced with a foolish demand, we can't always take the easy way out, which is either by categorically rejecting someone or simply acceding to his request. We may have to confront the person and tell them with love that they're being foolish, especially if we are someone like Aaron, who's known to be an Oev Shalom Verodev Shalom. If we find ourselves that we are individuals who we walk around, and we are individuals who don't simply look to criticize other people, but in general, we are individuals who are Me'urav Esabrios. We're individuals who walk around who are known to be Oev Shalom Verodev Shalom. So then we're not supposed to sell ourselves short. And sometimes when the time comes, we sometimes have to confront mistakes by other people, but we need to do that with love.